Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Our special guest tonight at Christian Apostolic Church will be Reverend Terry Null. He served as pastor of Christian Apostolic Church for 7 years, and he's coming back for a bit of a homecoming. He'll be with us for the service tonight and also our Wednesday night service. You don't want to miss it. And this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be a series of services called Fresh Oil, a wonderful time of anointing at Christian Apostolic Church. Evangelist Mark McCool will be with us all the way from Oceanside, Mississippi. He's a tremendous preacher. Both of these men, Reverend Terry Null and Reverend Mark McCool, are tremendous preachers, great men of God. You'll be greatly blessed by their ministry. We also want to give you a quick heads up. We have a wonderful marriage retreat coming up next month, March 15 and 16. And Reverend Daniel Garlitz, the former superintendent of the West Virginia District of the United Pentecostal Church International, will be our featured speaker at a wonderful get-together at Blackwater Falls. Again, that's March 15 and 16. You can find more information about it at cac.wvupci.com/retreat. Today in our broadcast, we're bringing you a very powerful message entitled The Greatest Miracle. And that miracle is, in fact, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And on the way, we illustrate some tremendous miracles that the Lord has done, simply to make the point that the Holy Ghost is an even better miracle. For example, we have one man in our church, a state trooper, and one of our elders, who was miraculously healed of celiac disease, an incurable syndrome. Also, we have a junior elder, Zach Sandy, who was killed by lightning in the middle of last year and wonderfully raised to life after being without breath or pulse for somewhere around a half an hour. Both of these men, their testimonies are coming up. You don't want to miss it. And let me just mention the very service in which these testimonies were recorded. A young man was filled with the Holy Ghost and water baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, let's roll the tape.
And I'm reading there beginning with verse 21, Joel chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do small things. No, that's not what it says, is it? For the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the caterworm and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And then verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Let me mention to you that the word prophesy literally means to speak under the unction of the Spirit of God. Yes. Amen. Speaking with tongues is one of the ways in which we speak under the unction of God's Spirit. It is not the only way, but it is one of the ways. And the Bible lists this as the biblical fulfillment of this prophecy in Acts chapter 2. Amen. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And this next verse is a direct prophetic reference to baptism in Jesus' name. We can show that to you from the New Testament. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. We are going to fulfill that very thing tonight. In just a few moments, Brother Caleb Colombo is going to be water baptized as we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this house. Praise God. I'd like for you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and beginning with verse 1 in the New Testament, the word of the Lord says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." If you'll let me pause and say here, that's what's going on in this house tonight. We've gathered here together and we are in one accord in this place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." I want you to know, folks, this Holy Ghost comes from heaven. There are some folks that are mistaken. They claim this business comes from hell. 1,000 times no. The baptism of God's Spirit and this speaking with other tongues under the unction of God's Spirit comes from heaven. Yes. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The word amen means so be it. If you would like to see the Lord do this again right here tonight, would you say a big amen?
Amen. Amen.
"Filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. The Bible goes on to say that many around them began to question and doubt, and Peter stood up and began to preach to them. Verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." I don't know if you realize this, but their mildly fermented grape juice was nothing like today's hard liquor. And it would have been nigh unto impossible for somebody to get sloppy drunk by 9 in the morning. It took them, if they were going to be an alcoholic, it took them a very long time to get inebriated. He said, "It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." But then he explained it. Verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you'll skip down with me to verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, he's both God and man. He's both the anointer and the anointed. Amen. The word Christ means the anointed. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. Yes. And blink your headlights twice if you accept Christ." No. No, that's not what he said. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now I want to read just one more verse, because some people say, "Oh, that Holy Ghost baptism doesn't happen today. That was done away with in the apostles' day." I want to direct your attention to verse 39. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I want to preach to you today, the Holy Ghost baptism is for you. The Holy Ghost baptism is for today. As long as God can still call people, He's still pouring out the promise of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I mentioned to you the New Testament connecting calling on the name of the Lord with baptism. There's not only this passage, but the man that we know as the Apostle Paul in his wicked days before serving the Lord when he was Saul. At his moment of repentance, Ananias told him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And let's give a great hand praise and a great shout to the Lord. Amen. I'd like to ask Elder Baron Claypool to come. And in just a moment, we're going to ask Junior Elder Zach Sandy to come. And we want to give testimony to you of some of the great things. God didn't say, "I'm going to do little things." He said, "I'm going to do great things." God said He would do great things. And God has been doing great things. I want you to listen.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
I don't claim to be a prophet, but I'll tell you this much. I knew what the pastor was going to preach before he even got up here to open up the Word of God. There is a spirit of revelation in here tonight. If you will be open to it, if you will be open, there is a spirit of revelation that will open your eyes to what the pastor is going to preach. And if you will open your eyes and open your heart, God will fill you with His Spirit tonight. I'm going to tell you very briefly about what God has done for me. I'm not going to go into my whole life story, but suffice it to say, I haven't always been what God wanted me to be. And I've missed a mark many, many times. But it's by the grace and mercy of God that I am where I am today. And I give Him all the praise and all the glory, because without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I can't do anything. About 4 years ago, I started getting very, very sick. I was getting ready for work one night, and I have an extremely high pain tolerance. I can take just about anything without even flinching. I don't know why that is, but I was getting ready for work one night, and I was in the bathroom, and I got a pain in my lower left side that sent me to my knees. And I have never experienced pain like that in my life. And I've been in car wrecks that no one should have survived. And I've been hit in the head with machetes. And I can't even tell you what all has happened to me. But the pain was so severe that I couldn't even function. I fell to the floor, and I was literally just writhing in pain. And I had to go to the hospital. And you can ask my wife, you can ask my mother, and those that have known me, I don't go to the hospital. I don't take an aspirin. I can count on one hand the times that I've even taken a Tylenol for a headache. But the pain was so severe, I felt like if I didn't get to the hospital, I just might die. The pain was that bad. And I went to the hospital, and they gave me some pills, which is what it seems doctors like to do nowadays instead of trying to figure out what's wrong. But they gave me some pills to just ease my pain and suffering until they could figure out what was wrong. Long story short, through all kind of tests, x-rays and colonoscopies and you name it, I can't even tell you how many tests I had, but the doctors were still coming up empty-handed with what the problem was. And as this problem started to progress, I would bloat. And I had to wear like the old man pants that had the elastic on the side of them. And I even had to go on light duty at work because I couldn't get my uniform on any longer, because every time I would eat, within an hour, I would bloat up. Normally, my waist is about a 32, and I would bloat up to about 38 inches around my waist within just an hour or an hour and a half of eating, and the pain was so severe that I couldn't function. And then after that, I started to have problems with my vision. I couldn't see right. And I told my wife, I said, when I look at the clock, I see double of everything. I was having trouble reading, and I never had trouble with my eyes. I always had 20/20 vision growing up. And then it started to get worse, and I started to get dizzy spells, started to get lightheaded. My blood pressure would drop, and I was passing out. Asked my wife, I had to be careful of everything I did, because I would fall over and get very weak and very dizzy just at the drop of a hat. And the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. But I'm glad that I know the great physician.
Amen.
I'm glad that I know somebody that even when the doctors can't figure out what's wrong, with all their modern technology, with all their tests, with all their programs, when they can't figure out what's wrong, I know a God that already knows what is wrong.
Amen.
And the Bible says that God knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. Amen. So before I even knew what was wrong, the answer already came that I was going to be healed of it. And I'll get to that in just a second. But through all of this pain and suffering, and I even went to the Cleveland Clinic because it seemed like nothing was happening here. No one could figure out what was wrong. They did blood tests. They did biopsies of my intestine. And eventually, I was diagnosed with a disease called celiac sprue disease. And it's an incurable disease, and it's kind of strange because some people you're born with it, and some people it affects them all their life. Other people it doesn't trigger until later in life. And so I had adult onset celiac sprue disease. And I won't bore you with all the details, but my body was rejecting the protein known as gluten. Well, gluten is in just about everything you eat. If you take a list of 1,000 things, there would be one out of that 1,000 that I could eat. And because my body was rejecting that, not only would I get sick from that, but my body was actually attacking the villi in my intestine, which are the little finger-like things that absorb vitamins and nutrients. And those villi were starting to shrink, and they were starting to shrivel up. And I had lost, I don't know, it was like 25 or 30 pounds I lost. And when I lose 25 or 30 pounds, that's a lot of weight for a fellow my size, because I'm not a big man. But I lost all this weight, and I felt so deathly sick. I couldn't sleep. I just felt ill all the time. And I went to what we call in-service training. And at that time, at every other year, I would get a physical. And that particular year, when I got my physical, they did an eye exam, and my eyes were so bad, and I was doing one of these numbers and squinting and still guessing at the letters that were showing up on the screen, and I barely passed the eye exam. And our department physician told me I was going to have to get glasses. But long story short, when we found out what was wrong, I had to modify my diet. I had to eliminate all gluten from my diet, and that meant that our grocery budget doubled, because everything that is certified gluten-free is twice as much money as what everything else is. And my wife had to cook everything special for me. And so everything in our life became chaotic. Everything was out of rhythm. We couldn't even go out to eat. I couldn't go out to dinner and eat a salad because they spray MSG on it. And MSG, it's got wheat gluten in it, and it would make me sick. And this disease is not curable. There's nothing you can do about it except suffer with it. And my brother, two brothers ahead of me, started developing the same symptoms that I had just within a month of me developing these same symptoms. And so we both had an incurable disease. But aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God that when the doctors say there's nothing we can do for you, God says, no, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You don't know what you're talking about. There is something that can be done.
Amen.
And so we were in church one night, and the preacher was preaching, wasn't preaching on healing, wasn't preaching on anything that had anything to do with any of that. And I'd suffered with this for a long, long time. And my wife suffered with it as well, because God bless her, she had to cook all that special food. Let me tell you something too, it was horrible. It was disgusting. If my wife can't make it taste good, it's bad. But we were in church, and the preacher looked back at me, and he pointed and he said, God is going to heal you. I was sitting right about here where Sister Joseph is. He pointed back and he said, God is going to heal you. Now, you can believe in healing if you want to. That's up to you. But for me, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to believe what thus saith the Lord. So when the man of God comes to you and the man of God tells you something, you need to receive that. Don't sit there in doubt and say, well, I don't really know if he's heard from God. Just accept it and claim it. So after a couple months of still suffering with this, now I wasn't healed right then. Now he never said you're going to be healed right now. He didn't say you're going to be healed day after tomorrow. He never told me when. So I had to maintain the course. I had to keep doing the things that I was doing. My wife had to keep doing the things that she was doing. But a couple months later, we were at the Apostolic Ministers Conference at Riverside. And but before we went, every single thing that could possibly go wrong to keep us out of that service went wrong. It just seemed like the devil was throwing up every roadblock in our way, every stumbling block to keep us from going to that service. And the service was centered on healing that night. And so my wife and I, more so my wife, felt impressed that we had to get to church, that we had to get there that night, that if we missed our appointment with God, that things just weren't going to be the way they were meant to be by God. And so we went to church. It was very difficult for us to get everything lined up to get there, but we went. And during the course of the service, he wasn't preaching about physical healing at all. He was preaching more about emotional healing and spiritual healing and getting ourselves healed of things that are other than physical problems. And so I was just sitting back, and I was enjoying the service, and I was worshiping the Lord, but I didn't feel anything was for me right at that moment. And so they gave the altar call, and of course people up there praying, they're receiving what God had for them. And my wife just elbows me and says, "Why aren't you up there? Why don't you go up front?" So can I tell you that you need some people in your life once in a while to nudge you to go the right direction? The Bible says to provoke one another to good works. So if you're one of these people that's sitting there and you think someone needs to do something, don't be afraid to tell them. And if it's me, go ahead and tell me, because I won't get offended at you, I promise you. But my wife said, "Why aren't you up there receiving what God has for you?" So I went up front. To this day, I don't know who the man was, because I never saw him. I've never heard his voice before. But I was up front praying, and I'll be honest, I was just kind of going through the motions, because I didn't know for sure when God was going to heal me. But I did trust God, and I did trust the voice of the man of God. And so someone came up behind me, and this is all he said. He said, "God said that you were going to be healed. Now receive your healing." And I can't explain to you how that feels unless you've been there, unless you've been diagnosed with an incurable disease. I can't explain to you how that feels. But all I can say is that thing that I know happened, that thing that I know inside, I felt it, and I knew of a certainty that I had been healed. And not only was I up front, but so was my older brother. He was up front, and the same exact thing was said to him. Now you can say, "Well, maybe that's just a coincidence." Well, that's a pretty big coincidence for something like that to happen. But I put my faith and my trust in God. And then some people would say, "Well, you still need to be careful." But no, what did I do? I told my brother after church, I said, "I've been healed and I know you've been healed." I said, "What are your plans?" He said, "I don't know about you, but I'm going to Wendy's." I said, "So am I, and I'm going to have a number one combo." So my brother asked me, he said, "What's the number one combo?" I said, "I have no idea, but I'm going to have it." So we went to Wendy's, and I had a number one combo. The number one combo would normally have caused me to bloat up to 38 inches, and I would have been in such pain and agony that I wouldn't be able to get out of bed for 3 or 4 days. And here's the amazing part. When God does something, God doesn't do something just part way. I don't believe that. There's scripture to prove that, because when Jesus healed a blind man one time, he asked him, he said, "Hey, how's your sight going for you there?" And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And he said, "Well, I see men walking about as trees." So he could see now where he couldn't see before, but things still weren't quite perfect for him. So Jesus went ahead and finished the miracle for him, right, and healed his eyes completely.
Right.
Well, the next year when I was at in-service, actually 2 years after that, I was at in-service again for a physical, and I had my eye exam again, and I thought to myself, you know what? And my vision had gotten better, but I didn't have a vision test. And I could read normally again. The alarm clock was only showing me, you know, 4 numbers on it instead of 8. And so when I had that vision exam, I thought to myself, well, I could sit here and try to cheat my way through this eye exam again, or I could just go ahead and put God to the test. And so I kept both eyes open during the whole vision test, and they've got all these different things that they have you look at, circles that are partially open and letters and different things that you're supposed to look at. And the doctor was dumbfounded because my vision had improved without any contacts, without any surgery, without any glasses. Not only did my vision get better than it was before, but my vision was better than it was before I got sick. All right? So when I tell you that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you can think or ask, I'm telling you because I'm a living example of what God's power can do. I'm a living example of the healing and saving and miraculous power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I don't know who it is that feels like you just don't know for certain if this whole God thing is real. You don't know for certain if what you're experiencing here in this house tonight is real. I want to assure you that this is. And the Word of God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that He's good. This isn't something you need to be afraid of. It's not something that needs to scare you away so that you never come back. But you need to jump in headlong. Jump in head first and just dive in. Give in to the Spirit of God and let Him see what He will do through you. And I know the pastor isn't done preaching. So I'm going to tell you once again, open your mind and open your heart and receive what God has for you here tonight. Because it doesn't matter how many times God tries to give you something, unless you open up and receive it from God, then you're not going to get it. I'm going to say one more thing real quick before I give the microphone back to the pastor. I was at my house today, and my great niece Haley went home with my wife and daughter, and when I got home from work, she was there, and I asked her what she thought of our fireplace. I'm proud of the fireplace that we have in our house. Is beautiful, 17 feet high, you know, and it's stone. It sits in the middle of the family room. I'm so thankful for what God has done for us there. And I asked Haley what she thought about the fireplace, and she just kind of gave me this look like this, and she looked up at it. And I said, well, what's wrong with it? She said, there's no fire in it. Can I tell you that as much of God as you have, come on. There's a little bit more for you. Can I tell you that even when you think you've got something great, there's something just a little bit better. Even when you think you've got what God has for you, God's got more. So whoever is here tonight, I want you to open your eyes and open your heart to what God is going to do and receive a little bit more than what you've received from God before. Receive everything that God has for you. And for those of you that have been filled with His Spirit before and have been baptized in His name, I want to remind you of the scripture that says, stir up the gift that is within you. I believe the Spirit of God is here, and He is moving not only on people that have never been filled with His Spirit, but He is here to refill people with His Spirit, and He's here to give everybody else another dose of His Spirit that wants it here tonight. Yes. Praise God.
Glory. Amen. Praise God. And now, and I know what you're thinking, how's He going to top that? You need to get some fire in your fireplace. Oh, yes, we can top that, as amazing as that is. At this time, we're asking a young man to come who was struck and killed by lightning and without breath and without heartbeat for somewhere around a half an hour. And we're asking him to come. He's not in a grave tonight. He's worshiping God in Christian Apostolic Church. Brother Zach, give us a little of your testimony.
It is very hard to top that, I will say. I do not think it's by chance that I am here tonight. This morning I was in Parkersburg and we heard, and I'm not going to be very long. We were in Parkersburg and I was there and I told my testimony, but I also heard a couple other testimonies about someone, a young lady was healed of epilepsy and celiac disease. Another man had a smoking habit for 50 years. And he was instantly healed.
Whoa.
Now, and I'm going to tell you something. Exactly what I told them. It's like people can argue all day about the Bible, and they will always have another question to ask you, thinking that they're going to make you stumble. But they cannot argue with the proof. They cannot argue about your testimony. They cannot argue with you about what you know that God did for you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, 7 months ago, tomorrow will be 7 months. It's amazing because it feels just like yesterday. But I was struck in the head by lightning. Most of you know this story. I was on a baseball field, not around metal, not holding metal, not near metal. There was a huge cell phone tower on about 100 yards away from me.
Well, we're all out of time today, but we hope to bring you the conclusion of this wonderful message in next week's broadcast. We hope you'll join us. And also, we encourage you to be with us in person at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.